Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. That's new from the Go Team. It's called Mayday, and the B-52s with Topaz to start the hour for Louise and Monica. It's 14 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. What's that creaking noise?
It's your floorboards.
My bones. Oh, the floorboards. Did you notice that?
Yes, a little bit.
Talking about the weather, here's a piece from Maganiosk. In your absence, August this year was 3.7 degrees warmer than usual, so you missed some lovely weather. Doesn't sound like it. We had just over our normal rainfall for the month, but that occurred as usual almost entirely in just two downpours. That's the climate here. So far this year, we're 16% up on rainfall, which is good, but 2.5 degrees up on temperature, which does seem to be symptomatic of the warming of the climates. Thank you, Peter. Didn't miss the hot weather.
Well, was it not very hot where you were, was it?
No, because it's near the Atlantic coast, you see, so it stays... Well, it gets hot during the day. I mean, it was up to 35, 36 degrees.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah, but at night it went down to 17 or 18, which is just perfect,
perfect
for sleeping.
Yeah,
so you can stand the heat when it's kind of dry like that. And no mosquitoes either.
Really?
No, because they have loads of bats there. The bloke we were renting the house from was... So you've got loads... He said, don't be alarmed if you hear noises during the night. It's the bats under the eave of the house.
Oh, and what, they get
and
rid of the
mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And also, how clean France is compared with the UK.
Really? Oh, yes, because you did both, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to the beach... it's a no-rubbish beach. They don't provide any litter bins at all. You have to take your rubbish home with you at the end of the day, which is the way it should be, really. It was absolutely spotless.
Works well, then.
Not
people
a
are responsible
bit
for their
of
own...
rubbish anywhere.
Well, yeah. Not even a mask?
No masks, no nothing. And free parking, too.
God, yeah. It makes you want to live there.
It does, kind of, in a way. Yeah, funny you should mention that. Of course, I met my new granddaughter for the first time.
Yes, granddad. Yeah. I saw the photo wearing pink shorts. Very cool, granddad,
yes,
to be wearing pink shorts.
I bought those in H&M just before I left in the summer sales, $2.99. Very pink, aren't they?
And did you do the nights with her then? Did you get up and, you know...
No, don't be stupid.
Oh, what, you just did the fun bit?
That's what grandparents are for, is it? It's just bouncing them up and down on your knee and going gaga. You're going to be gentle with me my first day back?
Very gentle. I did something whilst you were away and... somebody chose the theme for the three songs and they said, oh, Rob would have got that straight away. So, you know.
Really?
Yes. Question number one, let's see how you do.
It's going to be a big letdown, isn't it?
It's her birthday today, born in Cuba on this day in 1957. This singer-songwriter had a US number one single with Anything For You in 1988.
Born in Cuba, see, that's thrown me completely.
Well,
Anything For You. Rings a bell. No, sorry.
No, Gloria Estefan.
Gloria Estefan.
Question number two. On this day in 1983, who was fired from The Clash? The three other members claimed he'd drifted apart from the original idea of the group.
Mick Jones.
Correct. And finally, on this day in 1974, the Osmonds were at number one in the UK single chart with Johnny Bristol's song Love Me For A Reason. It was the group's only UK number one, which was also a number one UK hit in 1994 for which boy band?
Take that.
No, I'll let you. Do you want another guess or do you want to phone a friend?
I'll phone a friend, please. I'd like to ask Sarah Lycett what
they're
the answer
Irish,
is.
Come on, an Irish boy band.
Oh, Ronan Thingy Bob.
You're nearly there.
Boyzone.
Correct.
Okay.
Well done.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You've been greatly missed, I know, by everyone across the Riviera.
Well, thank you very much for your message yesterday saying I'd have the longest holiday in history.
Well, it has been a bit of a joke, to be honest with you. Sabbatical springs to mind, or something longer term. People were worried about your employment prospects, but they'll be pleased to hear your dulcet tones once again.
Well, thank you very much. And did you have a nice break? You went away, didn't you?
I was in Switzerland for a little while, which was rather pleasant, walking in the mountains, swimming in the lake a little bit, cycling along. I got into e-biking, actually, which is very pleasant in the mountains and takes some of the strain away. So enjoyed that, but nice to be back in the UK. Been back here for some time. And markets, of course, been very interesting.
You went for a swim in the lake?
Yeah, a few
Not
times.
A jump in the lake?
Some people did tell me to go jump in the lake, yes.
Yes, well, I did keep my eye on the markets while I was away, and my steady hand on the tiller resulted in a pretty good August, didn't it?
Very good. Far from being stuck in the August doldrums, the S&P 500 continued its record-breaking streak last week, up 3.3%. That's the biggest weekly gain since the first week of July. For August, the S&P was up an astounding 7.2%. Put that in some sort of context, it's the best August since 1984. In Europe, equities have also been trading higher over the course of the month. Stock 600 is up 2.9%. Its biggest gain since the financial crisis of 2009. Sentiment boosted, I think, by consensus beating results from the technology sector. Positive updates on the development of a vaccine and US-Sino relations, and promises of long-term support from the Federal Reserve, all of which created a positive backdrop for equities, helping to offset disappointing US consumer confidence figures, weak activity numbers coming out of Europe, and a lack of progress on the second US coronavirus stimulus package. Big number this week, of course, the markets comes on Friday, non-farm payroll, where we expect the US labor market recovery to continue. We expect the US economy created 1,750,000 jobs last month, pushing the unemployment rate down to 9.7%.
So, I mean, you're talking a good game, but I mean, equities are just so far removed from economic reality at the moment that it's hard to know, you know, what's going on.
Well, there's a number of factors, I think, that have been important. You've got overwhelming policy support. You've got a surge in technology adoption rates. You've got limited competition for equities. Obviously, the initiatives put in place by central banks have driven down bond yields, encouraging investors to take more and more risk to generate a return. That increasingly means, I think, turning to equity markets. Coronavirus data, I guess you could argue, has been stabilizing a little bit. And expectations of an earnings recovery continue to be very strong as you look through to 2021. But I think, like you, you've got to be a little bit cautious. The reality is there's still an awful lot of unknowns out there, still a lot of uncertainties. We don't know whether we're truly going to experience a strong second wave when it comes to the coronavirus. Got the US presidential election, which can, of course, create some volatility in financial markets. So good performance from equity markets, an incredible performance in many ways from the March lows. The S&P 500 is up more than 50% compared to where we were. But I think you've got to be cautious. So I think hedging, I think diversification continues to be very important. And active management, certainly when it comes to equity markets, yield enhancement solutions in fixed income are absolutely key at the moment.
Are these known unknowns or known knowns or unknown knowns? Who said that?
It was the Defence Secretary in the United States. Yes, Donald Rumsfeld. I was just about to say his name. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're looking at known unknowns at the moment, but they can very quickly develop into unknown unknowns.
So you're still relaxing in Cobham, are you?
Still here, still in the UK, still working from home. So it's been somewhat of an interesting time. The good news is the kids are back to school tomorrow, so that will alleviate at least some of the stress in the house.
Well, this is a major thing, isn't it? Getting people back to work at the offices and all the businesses that rely on workers in the city. So the big losers are the property developers and commercial landlords, because if people don't go back into offices, they're out of pocket.
They really are. And listen, I think the truth is lots of people will go back to work. There's a number of reasons for that. Collaboration, culture, the development of culture, I think is incredibly important, and creating a strong working environment is also vital, and the office plays an important role in that. But I think we have to be realistic. There's a structural change that's been taking place as a result of this, and perhaps that was coming anyway, but it's certainly been adopted at a much more aggressive rate than ever could have been anticipated, and much more people will work from home because the costs are much lower, the productivity has held up, if not got better, and for many people it creates a much better work-life balance.
Well, the UK is lagging behind, isn't it? Because I think only 34% of office workers have actually returned to their place of work at the moment in the UK, whereas in France it's nearly 80% and the European average is 70%.
Yeah, significant difference. Maybe that's the type of economy that you've got in the UK that pushes that. Technology has been strong and people have adapted very quickly. And I think that will continue to be the case, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but what's going to happen to all the empty offices, though?
Turned into houses, probably. I mean, the reality is there's still a huge housing shortage in the UK, but we are seeing people adapting many of their buildings to meet those changes, and that, I think, will continue.
But that means that all those businesses, such as Pret-a-Manger, the bars, the restaurants, you know, the little corner shops that supply the newspapers and the sweets for the office workers, they're all going to go out of business, aren't they?
Many of them will struggle, and in much the same way that the high street has been changing and moving to an online model, one would suspect that the office environment and cities will have to change as well.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Got the pound against the dollar this morning, trading at 1.34. Euro dollar just below 1.20. Going to get 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Just a bit of mild sparring today. I'm sure the gloves will come off later in the week. But...
looking forward to it.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Possum Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyson has the top stories across the Riviera.
An 18-year-old motorcyclist has been seriously injured in a road accident this morning on the RD562 in Montereau in the Var. The exact circumstances of the collision between a car and the motorcycle remain to be determined. The victim was airlifted to hospital and an investigation has been opened. In other news, 7 new cases of COVID-19 have been declared in the Principality on Monday. The total of residents to date affected by the coronavirus in Monaco stands at 138. In total, 4 patients are currently hospitalised, including 2 residents in intensive care. 42 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, from today, Tuesday the 1st of September, the Principality welcomes its new Minister of State, Pierre Dartou. The former prefect officially becomes Minister of State today. Dartou is the 25th man to hold this position since the function was created in 1911. Chosen last May by His Serene Highness Prince Albert II to be the head of his government, Pierre Dartou succeeds Serge Tel, who has occupied the post for 4.5 years. During a press conference on Monday, authorities in Nice have announced that several cases of COVID-19 have been detected amongst civil servants in the city. With 8 positive cases declared after testing, authorities are stepping up the health protocol amongst police officers, employees of the prefecture and the tax office. As with the first of every month in France, certain changes will be introduced from today, September the 1st, such as an increase of 0.6% in gas prices, partial unemployment is restricted, masks are made compulsory in confined spaces, and there'll be a flat rate fine of €200 for drug use. And France's Heritage Lotto has selected to restore the Bastion of La Turbie in Villefranche-sur-Mer. The Bastion of La Turbie is in the citadel of Villefranche-sur-Mer, was selected by the Mission Bern to represent the Alpes-Maritimes in 2020 and will receive part of the lottery funding. In national news, French students return to school today for the start of the school year, which, according to the Minister of Education, will be as normal as possible, despite health measures due to the COVID-19. Some 12.4 million students return to class today, and all students must be present, as the Minister reminded parents that school is compulsory. Jean-Michel Blanquer wants to reassure parents, adding that the health protocol in France is one of the strictest in Europe. Finally, Paris city officials have rolled out new testing labs, announcing on Monday that it would soon be possible to get tested for COVID-19 for free in all 20 districts of the French capital. The city, in partnership with regional and national health services, said it would propose sites of free testing in every district available to everyone, including those without social security. The city website indicates addresses in each of the districts where free testing is available.
Riviera Radio Business News. Brought to you by Barclays.
US markets ended mixed on Monday as investors rebalanced portfolios at the end of the month. At the close, the S&P 500 was down by 0.2% to 3,500, with the Dow Jones Industrials off 0.8% at 28,430, and the Nasdaq up 0.7% at 11,775. In London, the FTSE 100 was closed for a public holiday on Monday and reopens later at 59.63. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei down 0.1% at 23,131. Shares in the video conferencing app Zoom have soared after the firm reported a doubling in second quarter profit due to the coronavirus crisis. revenues skyrocketed by 355% to $663.5 million for the 3 months to the end of July, beating analysts' forecasts of $500 million. Profits rose to $186 million, while customer growth was up by 458%. Zoom shares hit a record high on the news, closing at $325.10, with the firm raising its annual revenue forecast by more than 30%. The company says that large customers, firms that generated more than $100,000 in revenue, doubled to 988 during the quarter. But Zoom has been facing some criticism, with hackers hijacking meetings and exposing a number of new security flaws. The firm's also been singled out for its ties to China, where it employs 700 people, raising concerns it's not suitable for use by Western governments. The UK high street retailer Marks & Spencer is making its entire food range available online from today after buying a 50% stake in Ocado. The acquisition gives Marks & Spencer an internet-based delivery service for the first time and comes at a critical period for the retailer, which has recently announced plans to make 7,000 job cuts. Online shoppers will now be able to choose from 6,000 Marks & Spencer food products alongside Ocado-owned label goods and big-name branded items. Marks & Spencer currently employs some 78,000 people, mostly in the UK. The bulk of the latest job cuts will come among shop floor workers, with 12% of customer assistant roles going. And Asian factories have continued to recover from COVID-19-induced gloom as China raised hopes of a brighter recovery in global demand. Manufacturing activity in China grew at its fastest rate in nearly a decade in August as factories increased output to cope with rising demand. New export orders have risen for the first time this year, due in main to pent-up demand after lockdown measures were lifted. But with cases of coronavirus rising again in some major economies, factories are still running at well below pre-pandemic levels, with many analysts expecting the global recovery to be feeble as renewed waves of infections dent business activity. On the foreign exchanges, €1 is worth $1 19.9, the pound's buying $1 34.1, the euro's worth 89.41, meaning the pound is trading at €1.11.8, the Swiss franc buying $1.11 and 92.56 euro. Bitcoin $11,679.32, Ethereum $446.53, and commodities, the price of an ounce of gold $1,995.20, and a barrel of Brent crude $45.76. Henk Potts coming up shortly.
Barclays Private Bank brings you Riviera Radio Business News on 106.5 FM. At Barclays, you can always count on our support. Backed by the full power of our global network, our dedicated team of investment specialists work with you to build, protect, and manage a tailored investment strategy. To find out more, search Barclays Private Bank or call 9315 3535.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Cycling Caleb Ewan won stage 3 of the Tour de France on Monday as the riders left the Côte d'Azur. The Australian won in a sprint finish from the Alliance Riviera to Sisteron on the second longest stage in this year's Tour. Julien Alaphilippe of France retains the leader's yellow jersey heading into stage 4 today, which is 160.5 kilometres between Sisteron and Ancier-Melette. I was looking out for you on your balcony, but I couldn't see you.
No.
Surprised you weren't there waving the flag to start the race.
Well, no, I did. I was too busy filming it. I was too busy taking photos.
I thought it was all supposed to be behind closed doors, but there were loads of fans out on the streets.
Well, yeah, I think obviously where it was going past on the Corniche, people were just standing outside their houses. And in Nice, yeah, the port was quite busy, but they did seem to respect social distancing. It was just at the end that it got a bit silly.
The riders aren't respecting social distancing, though, are they?
No.
Impossible to do that in the peloton. Tennis, the US Open is underway behind closed doors at Flushing Meadows, with some of the world's top players staying away because of fears over COVID-19. In the men's event, Novak Djokovic is through to round two as he seeks an 18th Grand Slam title. The world number one disposed of Damir Zumar in straight sets and is seeking to capitalise on the absence of fellow greats Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. In the women's event, Coco Gauff is out. The American teenager, who was such a big hit at Wimbledon in 2019, lost in three sets to Anastasia Sevastova of Latvia. Football, the Aston Villa midfielder Jack Grealish has been called into the senior England squad for the first time for the Nations League fixtures against Iceland and Denmark. Grealish is 24, has previously represented England at under-21 level and was a member of Gareth Southgate's 2016 tournament-winning squad in Toulon. Marcus Rashford and Harry Winks have both pulled out through injury. Looking forward to the new football season?
I can't wait. The 12th, isn't it?
12th of September.
Yes.
You're going to do
really
it again?
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Or are Chelsea going to give you a run for your money this season?
No. They'll have spent too much money.
I don't know. It's looking quite good. And in cricket, England play Pakistan in the second T20 International at Old Trafford later today. Play in Manchester starts at 7 p.m. French time. England won the first match on Sunday. Meanwhile, the England Test captain Joe Root has been left out of the T20 squad to face Australia. Root makes the one-day squad, while Ben Stokes is missing from both squads owing to family illness.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almarra Seam in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,009 millibars between Corsica and continental France. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap Ferrat, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 4 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
Air France. France.
La France.
Is in the air. La France est dans l'air.
For all details of Air France destinations, prices and services, please go to airfrance.fr, airfrance.com or see your travel agents.
Air France. France.
La France.
Is in the air. La France est dans l'air.
Because the sun shines after the rain, the weather forecast is brought to you by Nice Properties, your real estate partner on the French Riviera.
Mainly fine in coastal areas, some showers inland, light southeasterly winds, temperatures 26 degrees this afternoon, overnight lows 19 degrees on the coast, 16 degrees inland with clear skies, Wednesday and Thursday mainly fine, highs of 24 or 25 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Nice Properties. Four agencies from Cannes to Beausoleil and 25 collaborators to help you purchase or sell a quality property on the French Riviera. Visit nice-properties.com.
Finally,
just to say the Tour de France, though, I was a bit surprised because they were handing out Haribo sweets. They were throwing them out from the floats that were going past. Ooh. They did then have an organic one.
I heard they were wearing rubber gloves and they'd all been sanitised.
Well, but the Frenchman who wasn't far away from me, he said, oh, that's nothing, don't be so surprised. They used to throw out packets of cigarettes and the cyclists used to smoke to clear their lungs.
And they used to stop off for a glass of champagne or a glass of wine on the way.
They used to drink alcohol as well.
It probably helps going up those hills, I don't know.
Anyway, sorry, finally, people who eat most of their calories after 6 p.m. tend to have unhealthier diets and eat more overall, according to a study. Researchers said that late eaters were more likely to gain weight because they tend to let themselves get extremely hungry during the day. This makes them more prone to binge eating, making bad food choices and eating junk food in the evening, whereas those who consume their biggest meals earlier in the day are often too full to stuff their faces at night.
Quite right, Sue. Do you eat a lot at night or not?
I do. I've been a bit guilty of that, yeah. Mm. I do tend to go all day and then suddenly get really hungry.
You go all day and then have a big binge in the evening.
I think I do that.
I mean, it's traditional, isn't it? We all sort of eat big meals in the evening when really we should. What does they say? Breakfast like a king, lunch like a something, and dine like a pauper.
Yes, something like that. But no, I'm not. Do you? You don't eat much in the evenings, do you? You were in bed by 6 o'clock, weren't you?
Well, it should be 8 o'clock, but it was 7 o'clock last
was
night.
Was it?
We ate at six, but we had chicken curry with rice and writer and all the stuff last night. So
very nice.
Fairly big meal. Mm. You're up to date. I don't know what Hank Potts had for dinner last night. We'll find out next.